Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Train your body. Here's exercise physiologist Melanie Cole, MS.
Do you ever feel like you're in a torture chamber instead of the exercise classroom? When you walk in to an exercise classroom, whether you're a newbie or someone who's been in there a while, do you know what all that equipment in there is for? And when everybody in the class gets up to go get their steps or their mats or their tubes, do you know why they're getting those and what they're going to be used for? Or do you just stand there looking a little bit confused because you don't want to really ask anybody? Well, today we are talking with Group Fitness Director for Plus One Health Management and the editor of ACSM's Resources for the Group Fitness Instructor, Grace DeSimone, one of our favorite guests here on Train Your Body. Welcome to the show, Grace. So let's talk about 50 Shades of Group Fitness. Tell us, what is the inside scoop on some of the basic equipment that people use in class?
Thanks, Melanie. Well, the very, very first basic as a staple, and that's really where we're going to focus today, not on the more obscure equipment, is the good old-fashioned step that's been around since the 80s but has maintained as a staple in the classroom. And I know many of my participants walk in and see the step and kind of, you know, stop in their tracks thinking, oh, no, I can't step. And a lot of times the step isn't used for stepping at all. It's used as a weight training bench, and I always tell people we're sitting on it. We're not standing on it. So very often the equipment is not used in a traditional way because so much of the group fitness equipment is really versatile. So when you're thinking about a step platform, and I think most people are pretty comfortable with knowing what a step platform is, The thing I want you to think about with that and with all of the equipment that we're going to talk about today is, what are you going to do with it? That should be the first question in your head. What are we going to do with this equipment today? So, and if you have the instructor there, it's always great to go up, hi, it's my first time. People always say, hi, I'm new. And I always say, hi, new, how are you? And that's how we start our conversation. What are we going to do with this equipment today? That should be the first question on your mind. And if the instructor isn't there, you can ask another participant, hey, what do we do? What do we do with this step? If you are going to use the step for strength training, like I used it today, and you're sitting on it, having the step up a little bit higher will actually make it easier for you because it's higher, and then you're sitting down and standing up from the bench. Having it a little higher is like having your seat a little bit higher. So that makes it a little bit easier for you. If you're on the taller side, raising that step up, if you're going to sit down on it and use it for weight training type exercises, higher is actually a little bit easier. On the flip side, if you are using it to step up and down on, as most people traditionally think of a step, the height really depends on so many different factors. So my standard blanket statement is this. If it feels too high, it is too high. So use your good judgment. You never want to be over 90 degrees. When you put your foot up on that step and it's 90 degrees, that's probably too high unless you are an aficionado already. But we're talking about people coming in as rookies. So the faster the movement is, the lower the step needs to be. So again, it depends on what you're doing on the step.
That's a great tip, Grace. The faster the movement,
moderate height would be ideal.
That's an excellent tip. The faster the movement, the lower the step should be. It will predispose you to injury or skipping or missing the step if it is too high. So we've got the step, you know, and you've described that beautifully. Now move on, because they see the tubes and the bands and the Bozu and all these other things. Let's try and get through as many as we can.
Okay. So rubber things that are rubber, tubes, resistance tubes or bands, okay, it's elastic tubing or bands. Sometimes they have handles, sometimes they have plastic coating on them. Sometimes, so we'll talk about those first, the ones that are tubes. They come in different strengths based on color, and I wish I could tell you there was a universal color for all of them, but every manufacturer has made it different, so you need to check to, and you can just do it by pulling them apart and seeing which ones are light and which ones are heavy. When you pick up a band, here's a great safety trick for you. You run your fingers across the band. There should be no cuts. There should be no holes. If there are cuts or holes, I always tell people throw it in the trash, because if that thing breaks when you're stretching it, it will cause a very nasty accident. and you use the equipment for tubing, you can use it in a variety of ways. What's really beneficial is if you cannot lay down to do exercises, you're not comfortable in a position where you're laying down on your back or on your belly, you can do a lot of those great exercises sitting up by using a band. So that's one of the great things that we like about bands. And also, you can pack them in a suitcase and take them along with you. There are also, so those are tubes, there are also bands that are similar to the tubes. They usually don't have a handle. They look like big pieces of fettuccine, and again, they come in different resistance strengths. And same thing, you can do upper body, lower body. They're extremely, what's the word I'm looking for?
Versatile.
Versatile. Thank you. They're extremely versatile. So those are your resistance tubes and bands. And then you've got everybody's favorite, the dumbbell. Most people like a dumbbell because they understand a dumbbell. So it's like, oh, I get this. But again, what are you going to be doing with it? Are you going to be doing a lot of repetitions? Are you not doing a lot of repetitions? So, for instance, in like the Pilates kinds of classes and the bar classes that we're offering now, people do a lot of repetitions and you take the weights very far away from the center of the body. You can only do 3 pounds would be the heaviest weight that you would do in a class like that versus a strength class where you could use up to 12 or 15 pounds. So, again, based on what you're doing, you want to find out how many repetitions and what the intent of the class is for your dumbbells. Then we have all different kinds of weighted bars, which are traditionally known as body bars or Versa bars, and most of them are coated with some kind of rubber or neoprene to make them a little softer to handle, and they often start at about 9 pounds, and those are used for using as a bench press exercise or squatting. And again, you can. What's nice about it is the weight is very even across the bar, so it makes it very comfortable. And if you're new to weights or you're new to holding a bar, it's usually something that you'll take to very quickly. And once you hold it, you're like, oh, I get this. It actually assists you in balancing because it's evenly weighted across. And then you can also turn it on its side like you would a broomstick and use it for balance if you're doing a squat or a lunge or you're standing on one leg. So, again, that's a weighted bar. And then we also have the barbell, which you see in some of the strength classes, and that is a bar with the plates on the end of it. And what's nice about that is you can adjust the weight based on your ability level or based on the exercise that you're doing. So that's very popular right now. So the instructor will tell you, you know, heavy weights for legs, not so heavy weights for shoulders, et cetera. And then we have one of my favorites that's kind of a newfangled piece of equipment that's called a gliding disc. And this actually was developed by a trainer who was training in people's homes using paper plates on a wooden floor so that you could, you know, as you're doing like sliding, remember the old Reebok slider? I'm sure you remember that, Melanie, where you used to slide side to side. Well, this is a way that you could do that in a group setting with almost, you know, using up no space. And you can use these to put under your feet. You can use them to put under your hands. So you can do upper body work. You can do lower body work.
So you can get some good lateral sliding motion. Now, we only have less than a minute left, Grace.
Okay.
So very quickly in 30 seconds, the balls.
The balls. Big balls, little balls, physio balls is what we're going to talk about, or a stability ball. And the guidelines there, it depends on what you're going to do with them. However, if you're under 5 feet tall, 45 centimeters, if you are 5 feet tall to 5 feet 7, 55 centimeters, 5 foot 8 to 6 foot 3, 65 centimeters, and if you're over 6 foot 3 inches tall, you need the big guns, 75 centimeters.
I love that you just did that because people get so confused about the size of the ball. I think that ball's too big for me, or I think it's too small. So you cleared that up so nicely. You are listening to Train Your Body, Motivate and Perform with the American College of Sports Medicine. Great information here. Keep listening. Share it with your friends. This is Melanie Cole, and stay well.